I want to tell, let's talk about how you got to Dollywood.
Yeah. So I went to Belmont University, which is in Nashville, and I went there for a bachelor's in commercial voice. It's basically like a vocal performance degree. I had a minor in music business, just to fall back on in case anything happened. And it was actually, I'd never been to Dollywood. I've always heard of it. I just never envisioned myself doing theme park work. Didn't even know it was a thing until 2020. My friends and I took a cabin trip to Dollywood. And a lot of my friends are from the Maryville area, actually. And they were like, we have to see the show. It's called Christmas in the Smokies. You're going to love it. They knew my major and they were like, you're going to love it. And I was like, okay, sure. It's a theme park. Honestly, my expectations were like, this is probably going to be not the best quality. And I went and I bawled my eyes out. I was on the edge of my seat. I remember exactly the seat I was in Celebrity. And I was so emotional. And I was like, I'm going to do it. I'm a Christian. So I felt like that was a calling for me. And I called my parents, right? I wasn't even out the door Celebrity. And I called my mom and I was like, I will do this. Like, I will be on that stage. I will do this. I'm going to figure out how I'm going to do it. And then this was December. This was a couple weeks before Christmas. And then January, I found out they were holding auditions, but I had missed the audition deadline by an hour. And sure. I was crying. I was so upset. And I was like, they won't let me. Like, I tried calling the hotline to get an audition. And they're like, our audition process has been closed. We're sorry. And I was sobbing. I was so upset. And my dad was like, if you want it bad, you better email them. You better call them, because unless you get a no, you might have a chance. So for 3 weeks, I was calling and emailing every day, anybody I could get a hold of. I'm like, can I have an audition? Sure. Can I have an audition? And they're like, we don't have any. We don't have any. And then finally, it was the third week of January, I get an email and it just has like no name on it. And it was like, we've had a cancellation. Your audition's January 31st at 7 p.m. See you there. And I was like, oh my gosh. And so I had a week to prepare. I did not think I was going to get it. I was so excited. And then within 30 seconds, they gave me an offer. And that's kind of where it started. Yeah. So that was January of 2021. Okay. And then I was called for Forever Country that year, but because of COVID, they had started it in June instead of the normal April because they had some setbacks. They hadn't done entertainment in a year. So they were kind of, and Forever Country, that was its first year as Forever Country and not Country Crossroads.
I was about to ask about that. What was it like opening a new show that nobody had ever been in before?
Yeah, it was crazy. So me and Rob, I'm sure you know who Rob is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, duh. So we were both new at the time. We were the two new people in that show and everybody else had been having a contract for Country Crossroads. So they all knew what Country Crossroads was. And we were like, what's that? We were like, what? I don't know what they're talking about. Like every time we were learning the show, they're like, well, in Crossroads, we did this. Well, I used to sit here in Crossroads and we were like, what are you guys talking about? Uh-huh. But yeah, I mean, at least for the people who went from doing Crossroads to Forever Country, it was a huge jump just from like the era of country music that Forever Country covers. Like Country Crossroads was doing like Patsy Cline, George Jones. Like it was real old school country.
I was about to say, was it virtually the same show just to kind of
No, definitely less dancing too. And their costumes, oh my goodness, I'm gonna bash them.
they were so fantastic.
Wait a minute, wait. Hold on 1 second. Hold on. How did we wind up? So we went all the way from like 50s country to so Forever Country, the first time it was a new show in 21.
Yes.
But we're back doing 90s country.
Yeah.
It's prime country. Don't call it 90s country. It's prime country.
Yeah, we say 90s and early 2000s. But yeah, Forever Country is more the prime. I guess what happened was Dollywood was getting a lot of feedback during the COVID year because Country Crossroads did not happen in 2020. They just couldn't do it with the pandemic. And I guess during that time, the guest feedback was like, why is there no shows at Dollywood with modern country? Like, isn't this Tennessee? Isn't this Appalachia? Right. Like, how do you not have like the major country artists of our time? And they were like, guess you're right. And Country Crossroads had been going on. I feel like it opened maybe in like the 80s, 90s.
It was 90s. I was actually in high school. And so like, I remember when that show started and I was in like ninth grade. And the fiddle player was in it then, and then they got rid of it, and then it came back, which was really kind of fun.
Nicole, you have no idea the amount of Dollywood history knowledge that is in this podcast. It's unbelievable.
Love it. You know more than me. I'm impressed.
No, but I want to circle back though to something that you were saying.
Yeah,
you were talking about the costumes from Country Crossroads. Yeah. They were so bad, Aaron, that there is an episode of The Middle where is her name Sue goes to work at Dollywood.
Yes.
And the costumes were like fake costumes, but they were the real costumes. They were so bad.
Well, did the show change very much from 21 to 23?
It did. Okay. It did quite a bit. I remember, especially for me, so I did the show. I was only in it for 8 weeks in 21. So they were gracious enough to only let me do 8 weeks because this was before my senior year of college. So I went to Dollywood before I even graduated. But they
were you just trying to get in Christmas in the Smokies? Was that your whole thing? Was I just want to be there for Smokies?
Yeah, I mean, and to be honest, and this shows how much research I did. I had no idea they had a country show. Like when I got a call, they were like, "We love you for this country show," and I was like, "You guys have a country show?" And they were like, "Yes." And I was like,
"What do you mean? What do you mean you guys had? Did you guys have a country show?" I would have thought every show was a country show at Dollywood before I went to Dollywood. Go back. Hey, look, for a second. Go back to the rehearsal. I mean, how did you feel in that audition process? Were you pretty sure you were a lock for? Or what was the feeling at the time?
No. So I definitely felt like I was a very last choice, considering I had been begging for weeks and weeks for this audition. And then finally they were like, whatever, come on, let's go. Okay. I felt like they were so sick of me at that point. I was like, okay, I'm going to do really good. So they don't even more than they do.
who was actually in the audition?
So it was Roger White, who is our entertainment director. He kind of brings in outside acts. And then we had Drew Slice.
So it's Roger. It's Roger that brings him out. He books the outside. Oh, I need to talk to him.
That's pretty much his main priority. He really doesn't have any insight about the shows at Dollywood. He typically just kind of handles outside entertainment. So it was him, and it was Drew Slice, and it was Page Management. and then David Brooks, our conductor. He was the one where we gave him the sheet music and we played the piano. And I vividly remember, like, I was in this audition. Of course, I was like, great, they already know who I am. They're seeing the name and they know this is the girl who's going to help them, you know, 50 times. They're like, great. Oh, thank God she's here now. And I remember singing, and I had to sing two selections. So I sang I Told You So by Randy Travis first.
Oh, that's a good choice.
I love that song. And I was like, and I had the help from my college professors too. And they were like, you got to do this one. And I had that. And then I had Man in the Mirror by Michael Jackson prepared. They wanted like two contracting styles. And I did I Told You So first, and I barely got through the chorus, and Drew was like, stop, come here. And he was like, you're great. And he was like, we gotta send you to the callbacks. And Paige was like, she's still in college. And he was like, nope, you're gonna go to the callbacks. And I was like, what? But I was already kind of nervous because I knew they were probably gonna ask me something about, you're not graduated yet, you're still in school, what are we gonna do with you? And I knew she kind of was already questioning me, and I was like, oh no. But I felt really good about how that at least was perceived and how my audition went. And then I went to the callbacks, and what was the song I sang? It was Independence Day by Martina McBride. I was asked to sing that in Respect, which is the Dreamland Drive-In song by Bertha. They were like, can you sing Bertha's? And I was like, okay. I was like, this is not what I came here for. And then in front of everyone, Drew was like, okay, come here. And he was like, we would like you to drop out of college. And I was like, deal. And this was in front of an audition group of like 15 people, and they all overheard him going, can you drop out of college for us? And I was like,
wait a minute. So did you have another semester at the time?
I did. I had a whole year left. So I was about to be a senior at Belmont when this was January of my junior year. And I was like, listen, I'm gonna be honest, I don't pay for all my college. That's not really up to me. I was like, I need to talk to my parents. And he was like, well, unfortunately, we're gonna need an answer right now. And I was like, I probably won't. I'm so sorry. I really want this opportunity. I really, really don't think I can drop out at this point. And he was like, okay. And then Paige was like, let's not get into this. And Drew was like, no. Like, I know she said no, I would still like her to be here. And then they made me read a couple lines. I did the dance callback, which was Drew's wife, Tasha. She's a choreographer at Dollywood. And then it was about 2 weeks after the audition. I did not know what to do. I was like, oh my God, they asked me to drop out of college. I was like,
Wait, hold on one second. So you went to the audition. How are you thinking that was going to go? So like, you knew you still had to stay in college, but were you thinking,
And yet at the end of it, they're like, we would like for you to uproot your life because we like you so much.
Yeah, I was honestly shocked because I knew how many people, like my college professors had a lot of their students go through the Dollywood process. I had one professor being like, they're never going to take you. Like he was so pessimistic. Like really? He was like, they take people with contract experience. Like they take like true professional musicians who have work experience. He was like, I'm telling you right now, they're not going to take you. And then my other professor was like, oh my God, no, you're perfect for it. Like they're going to take you here. So how we're going to make it happen. And I was like, okay, like this guy says, and she was like, don't listen to him. He doesn't know what he's talking about. But yeah, I knew from the get go that there was so many people. And at my audition, I was the last one in the last group to go on the very last day. So I saw everyone in front of me and everyone was so good. They were these musical theater majors pulling out like Hercules songs and like Anastasia, like all this stuff. Here I am as a country singer, and wow. I wanted to be a country singer in college, but I was like, oh my God, like no way they're going to book me. Like all these people. You know
what? So when this is over, did you go to that professor and go, ha ha, they wanted me to basically drop out of college? Because oh, I sure would have done that.
I sure did. And he was like, you won't do that. Like, don't you dare try that. And I knew, but he was like, that's good. He was like, I would bet you got it. And I was like,
that's fantastic.
That's so weird, Nicole, because it's like I see you perform at Dollywood and my initial thought would have been, well, of course she's got a role at Dollywood. I mean, it's not even like, it doesn't seem like it's that, it doesn't seem like it would be that big of a lift for you to be a Dollywood performer. Cause it's like, well, I mean, of course she is. Of course she's that good. You know what I'm saying? Like it wouldn't cross my mind.
He's right though. Like it is super competitive. I got to watch auditions in I don't know what year it was. Was it 2022, Aaron, that I was still an insider? I don't even remember. But one of my articles was about the audition. I'm not a performer. I wish I was. In fact, we made a joke. Chris, is it Sanford I interviewed him for an article and he was like, you should pretend to audition so that you can like write about it. And I was like, oh no, you guys don't want that. It's intense. Like, and for you to have watched all of those people go before you, that would have rocked my confidence.
Had you done any kind of auditioning like that before though, Nicole?
No, that was my first professional audition ever. At the time I was 20, but yeah, that was my first.
So let me ask this question. When you get the job and then you start rehearsals, how long did y'all have to learn this new show before you're getting on stage and have to perform it 5 times a day?
Yeah. So every show in the normal season, so we're talking Bones, Dreamland Drive-In, Forever Country, and Back Porch, each have 3 weeks of rehearsal time. Mm-hmm. So two of that is spent in a warehouse, which is in Sevierville, and it's like a little black box theater. We have mirrors, we have number lines, and we kind of learn it with an outside choreographer in there for 2 weeks. And then the last week, we're on park for Tech Week, where we're incorporating costumes, the theater stuff. But ultimately, by the last week, the show's pretty much all put together. So in reality, you have about maybe 9 or 10 days of choreography. And then you're thrown onto the stage and it's Tech Week. But yeah, start to finish, all normal season shows have about 3 week rehearsal periods. So
Dollywood contracts out the choreography?
Correct. They do. So we have about, I would say there's 3 main choreographers. We have Denise. Denise does Forever Country and she did Crossroads. Denise also did Smokies from 2017 to last year. And then we have John Dietrich. John Dietrich is the old Rockettes director, and he's also a professor at NYU. He does Dreamland Drive-In every year, and he used to do Smokies way back when, and this was his first year doing Smokies again, so we got to work with him this year.
Really? I didn't know that he did that for this year. That's cool.
He said, my show will not look like this. Upside down. We were like, is this Christmas in the Smokies, the finale? We were like, is this a cult? Like, what are we learning? But like, this is my show. This is how it was in 2016. You will do as it was. And we were like, okay.
And it's funny you say that because 2016 was the first year that they had brought it back to Celebrity. And there were and there were some things you were taken out because of COVID.
Yes.
And then there were things this year that I noticed were back. Because like I said, I am the Christmas. Of all the theme parks in all the world, my favorite thing is Christmas in the Smokies. So I'm kind of, I'm a nerd about it. But I noticed this year, like, especially during the Carol of the Bells scene with the candles, that whole choreography was not exactly like 2016, 2017, but it was close. It was cool.
Yeah. Well, if you want to hear a funny story, I think you'll appreciate this. And typically, like I said, the choreography is usually like set in stone and like you're just putting it on the stage in Tech Week. This was Friday. This isn't Christmas at Smokies this year. It was our preview day. And our preview day is where like it is the show before you open for the public and all of entertainment's there. All your friends are there from other shows. And it is like the biggest deal ever. We were an hour away from giving our preview show, and we had initially had Carol the Bells be going down the aisles of Celebrity.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really not going well. The sound wise, like just the physics of Celebrity theater, like the sound was bouncing at different points to people's ears, and we could not get the song in time. And we were an hour away from our preview show, and John was like, "I hate it. Stop." And he was like, "We're scrapping it. I'm making something else. We're redoing this whole number." And we were all like, "Are you kidding me?" He was like, "Nope, I don't want it down the aisles. Everybody stand here, 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 here." He put us all in that line in the front. And he was like, "Cut this step, this step, this step. All right, let's do it with the music. Let's go." And we just did it. And he was like, "Oh, so much better." He was like, "Now do that for your preview show. Go get changed." And we were like,
"Okay, great."
Before, like Melody and I were the captains of the show, and we were both like, "Should we say something?" Like, and we were like, "Should we stand up for our cast?" And Melody was like, "Are you sure?" And he was like, "Yes, it looks awful." And she was like, "But our," and he was like, "Why does that matter? I don't care. It looks like trash." And we were like,
"Wait a minute, okay, hold on." But so you said,
"Okay."
That's incredible. An hour before the first show.
We were unreal. All freaking. Yeah, we were like, "Somebody's going to mess this up." But it actually went, I will say, our preview show doing it for the first time, it was a little rough because obviously like during these preview shows, like everybody is screaming their heads off for you. Like it sounds like there's got to be 50,000 people in the audience. And we were already so adrenalized from like everybody screaming at us that you got a little off. But by opening day, it was fine. John stayed after and was like, "This is how we can make it work." And it ended up working, but it was so stressful having a choreographer scrap a number an hour before you've got to do it. So,
that was so much fun.
So yeah. How long were rehearsals for Christmas season?
Oh, Lord.
long.
Don't you find out though what show you're going to be in, like pretty much the middle in the summer?
Yes. Yeah. I got a call for Smokies on the 4th of July, but I didn't find out I was going to be mom until about Labor Day weekend. I heard rumors that I was, but I didn't officially get the offer.
How does that go as far as like the roles for Smoky Mountain Christmas?
Yeah. So in years past, it's been a little different. Typically you would receive the call, like they would say, "Hi, you're going to be in Christmas in the Smokies. You will be ensemble one, or you will be mom." And this year they kind of did casting a little differently. So on July 4th, I just got a call saying, "Hi, you will be in Christmas in the Smokies." And I was like, "What role am I going to be in?" They're like, "We don't have that answer yet." And I was like, "Oh, okay." And then, as kind of the day went on, of course, we all talked to each other. So we all know who got calls. It was me, Chloe, and Kitty. All three of us got calls for Smokies that day. Okay. And I was like, "Did they tell you what you were going to be?" And they were like, "No, none of us got told what we were going to be." And we later heard that kind of the tactic they were going about doing is giving everyone a call saying, "You'll be in the show." And then once they had the initial people they wanted for the show, then they kind of figured out from that pool of people who would be the best fit for each.
So, all right. So you're contracted for the season at Dollywood, right? So when you know you're going to be in some sort of role for Smoky Mountain Christmas?
There are, I will say that doesn't go for everyone. There will be some people where either they don't fit the niche of whatever shows they offer. That's very rare though. I will say most people will go, especially if you're in a regular season show. I'm talking Dreamland, Forever Country, Back Porch, or Tones. Especially if you're in one of those four, you're almost guaranteed a spot at Christmas because you've been with them for the whole season.
Yeah.
See you as an asset. They're going to put you in Christmas. It's those shorter contracts like summer, tip, anything like in the spring or fall. Like those are the ones that might not go into Christmas. But I would say, yeah, most of the regular season performers at Dollywood do flow into Christmas.
Okay. Gotcha. So yeah. I have to ask because I'll regret it if I don't.
Yeah.
So obviously you want to be in Christmas in the Smokies.
Yes.
What is the role you do not want?
I don't know. Honestly, especially this year, because I had no idea who I was going to be.
Yeah. You had no idea. You had no idea you were going to be the face of Mountain Christmas 2023.
No, I did not. Honestly, this year we had rumors floating around that City Girl was going to be a primarily like dance role, like very minimal singing. And I was like, ooh.
Which it was the first year. In 2016, it was not a singing role, period. Right. She just danced.
Correct. And that was kind of the rumor going around, was because it was a John, it was a Dietrich show again, he wasn't going to have her sing. And I was like, oh God, I was like, I want to sing. It's like, don't make me City Girl. I don't want to be Emily. I would love a singing role. And honestly, I was going to be super happy with the role I had last year, just being ensemble. And because when you're ensemble in that show, you have the opportunity to audition for all the solos. When you're a main character, all your things are set in the script for you, and you, and some of those people do have opportunities to audition for solos depending on your character. But for somebody like Mom does not get a chance at any of the other solos, of course, because she has the most vocally in the show. It's just fair. But I was like, I would love to be ensemble. I'm like, let me sing When They Saw the Star. Let me try for, you know, Let's Make a Memory. Like, I was like, give me my shot. Like, I would love to sing all that. But of course, I mean, being Mom is so much better than I thought. So,
well, I remember last year during the conversation, like you had the conversations after the show, like when season pass holders, and I was doing an article and you were the girl who got shot to.
Jeremy, yeah.
And you had said that getting to sing as Mary was one of the highlights. Tell me about that experience, getting chosen as, because for those of us who've loved Christmas in the Smokies all these years, when we associate Christmas in the Smokies, there are those iconic songs, and that's one of them. What was it like portraying Mary 500 times a season for the Christmas in 2022?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And it never got old to me. It never got old. I remember auditioning for it, and I was just like, I want it so bad. I was like, I want this part so bad.
Was that your top choice of the ones that you could get? Was that your only one?
It was either that one or When They Saw the Star. But When They Saw the Star was pretty high in my range. So I was like, ooh, I don't know if I can pull that off 5 times a day. But I was like, I really want Mary. And Nate at the time, my boyfriend Nate, who used to be in Smokies last year, he was like, you're going to be Mary. Like, I know it. And I was like, don't say that. Like, you're going to jinx it. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't know. But then the next day, yeah, they announced I was Mary. And I was like, oh my gosh, because as a Christian, like, that just meant so much to me. And I remember when I saw it in 2020, that was one of the moments I remember most about that show, and the one that really brought me to tears. And I'm like, I am so fortunate that I am going to be that person who can bring out those emotions into somebody in the audience. Like, that's why we do what we do. Oh my gosh, it was just so amazing, especially doing it with Rob. Again, Rob and I started this journey together. He is one of my closest friends at Dollywood. And of course, ending it with him as my son in the show. Oh my God. It's a very full circle moment. And just having him and Joseph, and of course, having John in that as well. Like, it was just, and the New York Times, I don't know if either of you saw that article that the New York Times did. They actually put a picture of me as Mary in it. And I was shocked because they kind of came in wanting to just interview Caleb Brown, our vocal captain. Right. Mm-hmm. He was kind of sought after for an interview for the article. And I was like, oh, they're just taking pictures of Caleb. And when this article came out with me in it, I was like, they never even spoke to me. And I was like, what in the world? But it was the coolest picture. And of course, my mom is crying. She calls me. She's like, you're at the New York Times. I was like, I know. I don't know how this happened. But oh my gosh, it was so exciting. And just having that to like end that season too, like just how many people got to see it and like the feedback I got about it. And the cool part about Mary too is it's like, first of all, there's so many brunettes in this show. Like, do people really know who we all are? No, we all look the same. We're all wearing the same wig, same red lips. So it was kind of fun, like coming out after the show when there's like a million brunettes and the person's like, oh, whoever did Mary was so good. And you're like, oh,
that's me.
Yeah. I was like, who's that? You know, I don't know who did.
Okay. But we have to ask this question. How quick is that quick change? Like, when you are going from Carol of the Bells, I got to know, like, how stressful is that?
Pretty stressful, especially during tech week. They were like, all right, we're going to try it. And I'm sure it's not a complete blackout. As you probably know, like if you sit in the first 5 rows, you probably see John and I running for our lives. But yeah, it is quick. So the three of us, so Rob, John, and I, we all had stagehands back there who were basically like holding your costume unzipped, and they're like ready for you. And like, you're running off stage. Like, my hat was already undone in Carol the Bells, and I'm running for my life. I'm ripping off everything. And there's a stagehand who's just putting it on, zipping it up. And I really never had a problem. We had one time where my zipper like completely like broke. Like it just ripped off and like the track ripped. And he was like, this, he's not retired from Dollywood, but he was so sweet. He was like, okay. He was like, you will be late. I'm going to the safety pins. I'm just warning you now. You will enter late. And I was like, okay. And they're like pinning my Mary costume in. And I walked on right as I started singing. Like it took all of John Solo to get that thing on me. And it went fine. I was like, what if I don't look in character? I was like, I was just panicking back there. And now I'm just
come out as the city girl. I have my
character right now. Yeah. But honestly, yeah, that quick change always went super well. It was like 20 seconds. And then especially even getting out of it into the spiritual medley where we're at the church, even that went super quick. Luckily, I had my dress on underneath it. I wasn't taking off costume pieces. So it just went right over my dress and I just kind of ripped it off. I fixed my wig. Sometimes my wig would get messed up. It's like a headband for Mary and it has like
these
and like snaps underneath to like attach it. And sometimes that headband would like mess up my wig. So I'm just like fixing my wig and then you just run on like, you were nobody. And it's
and seeing the cornerstone of the show in 20 seconds, like amazing.
Hold on.
Magic.
Look, as great as all of this is.
Sorry.
I have to ask this. Nicole, do you understand the plot of Christmas in the Smokies?
Oh, come on. You know the plot of Christmas. We have had arguments about this because I can understand the plot of Christmas in the Smokies. Aaron has struggles with it.
Look, when I'm sitting there watching the show, I'm seeing the show visually, right? Yeah. That's what my interest is.
Right.
I'm a stage lighting guy. I've always have been music guy. And so that's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing the big picture, Katie, and not paying like super, super close attention to the storyline. So I come out of Christmas in the Smokies the first time I see it. And I tell Katie this, what was that exactly? What happened? Because I'll pop up bits and pieces of
it's disgusting that he doesn't appreciate it.
It's not bad. I just
honestly, you are one of many. Like even my parents were, and honestly, we've just talked about this with our cast. We had, so Ari and Chris are new people in Christmas and Smokies this year. Like they came into rehearsals and they were like, so are you the sister? And I'm like, no, I'm a mom. And they're like, so wait, isn't the blonde one your daughter? And I'm like, no, she's my girlfriend. And then they were like, and then everybody dies at the end. And we were like, what? And
Nicole, she
I thought that too, though. The dying at the end. I'm going to just put this out there. When you have the family come out in the choir robes and they used to be the all white ones and it's mom and then it's son and then it's dad and then it's girlfriend. And I'm like, are we in heaven? Is this what is happening? We're reuniting in the afterlife?
Yeah. Well, especially with the chimney smoke. Well, the theory and what we joke about is like when mom goes into the cabin for heirlooms, like the house is on fire, the smoke is there. Then we see like heaven in the background on the LED screen. And then all of a sudden, like we come out, are we angels? Because like
John monoxide poisoning.
An angel, like, are we dead? Is this heaven?
This was not the dumb question I was afraid it was going to be. Yeah, I'd be even more confused than I was when we first started this. We needed to have this podcast, Nicole, the start of the season, because I would have told you, hey, talk to whoever you need to. We got to get the storyline tightened up a little bit, one way or another.
Look, I remember when Scott Self was the guy who played the dad for years. And when Scott left, like we went to the last show of the season because he was just iconic when it came to Christmas in the Smokies. Yeah. And I remember he came out in the robe, they sang, the family went back, and I went, well, I guess, you know, he really is going to heaven because he's not going to be on the show anymore. So, I mean, it's just, that's what they've always done. And that's always been my thought is, they've all gone to heaven. They've died.
They're actually at church, supposedly, which really doesn't make sense because we have an LED screen for a church scene with like the stained glass windows. They never put it up at the end. So how are people supposed to know we're at church? Like, okay, they're church choir robes, but like, why would
also angels,
but we
do? Also angel robes.
Yeah. 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 I mean, it doesn't make sense. Like John was the one who had to clarify everything for us. Like, I got more storyline about Smokies this year than I ever did last year.
Okay, give us some dirt. Give us some storyline we might not have caught up on. Well, this is the stuff I want to know. Hold on, Aaron. You asked me on this. I'm going with how I want to know some background storyline.
I just want to make one statement. I just want to say I'm not saying that you have to understand the storyline to enjoy the show, but I was just wondering. Go ahead.
But now I want to know the background story. Give me one background story that you learned this year that you didn't know before.
Okay. Something I learned this year that I did not know before. Let me think. Well, first of all, it's set at the turn of the century.
Wait a minute. Whoa. Don't say
anymore. Let her finish.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, we had a debate this year. John Dietrich this year thinks this was set in the 1930s. Ever since 91, it has been told to us that this was set in 1899, like turn of the century. Our costumes display that, everything about it, just like the train scene, the luggage we use, the coats we have, like it is turn of the century. This year, he was convinced this show is set in 1930s. We're like, no, it is not. No, it is not. You're losing your mind.
Is it set in the Appalachian area as it's supposed to be?
Correct. Yeah.
So what's with the Victorian wardrobe?
I don't know. And his argument too about why it's set in the 1930s is because Appalachia is supposed to be like behind everybody else in like fashion and like culture. So it would make sense that like the Appalachia people would be like behind and like wearing Victorian dresses, but we're like, that's so appalling.
It's like you're inside of a
snow globe. It's not supposed to be real. It's a fantasized version.
Correct.
Was Auntie going after little brother this year? Because there was a flirtation between them, and I need you to explain what was going on there.
Yes. Well, first of all, John Dietrich loved our Charlie Criss. He loved him, and he was only 18. I mean, he is the youngest of my life.
He was so talented. I mean, for him to be 18 years old, wow.
Very, very, very talented, and John Dietrich took an immediate liking to him, and I think I'm so glad Chris got as many opportunities as he did this year, because Charlie's always kind of been like that little brother. And something else I learned this year is like Charlie's like the one trying to get in the middle of the girlfriend and, you know, Billy. Like the little brother is realizing that Billy cares so much about his girlfriend. And he's like, wait a second, what about me? Like, we're bros. Like, mm-hmm. What happens? Like, you come home and you bring home this girl, and what happens to me? What am I, dirt? You know? And it's kind of this thing where Charlie's like, you know, what about us, bro? Like, we're bunk buddies. And he's like that little annoying brother that's like, what about us? You know, we used to be, you know, super close. And who's this? And, you know, when I love that scene now in the opening, after the opening, when Charlie tries to grab Emily's bag and she's like, what are you doing? She thinks he's stealing her bag because she's from New York. So I love that, though. And that's where he's kind of like, oh God, like this is weird. Like I want my brother back. Like this girl, I'm robbing her. Like what's going on?
That's cute.
I love all the opportunities that Charlie got this year. He truly deserved all of them. And I'm so glad that Charlie was a more prevalent role this year. But I don't even know what we were saying about it. I love Chris. I could talk about Chris all day. He's so talented.
The fact that he's 18 is blowing my mind right now. Like, now, how does that audition process work for somebody like him? Is he like, did he audition in January and this was the opportunity that he got? Like, how does that work?
I believe so. Well, I'll say this too. Another inside thing about it is that we had a different Charlie at the start of Smokies. When we were getting our initial emails and our schedule, we had a local guy who was significantly older than Chris, who was going to play the part of Charlie. And it was about the week before we started, he ended up dropping for whatever reason. And we kind of noticed there was a new guy in our email chain the week before. And we were like, who's this? And we realized they got this new Charlie who ended up being Chris. So I don't really know when he auditioned, but I do know that he literally got a call for Smokies week before, and he's from Nashville. So it wasn't a huge change for him. But he was just not expecting it. And, then he came on.
That's really cool.
I'm going to be honest with you. I think I must have totally missed Charlie in this whole storyline, because
really
Charlie's the brother.
The only
reason why I know his name is Charlie is because last year I asked Rob, I was like, or when Rob played Charlie the first year, I was like, what is your character's name? What is his name?
Yeah. Yeah. He is a little forgotten sometimes.
little brother, Aaron. You know who the little brother is, right?
Little brother. He's the annoying teenage brother. Yeah.
I don't know why in the entire show, I do not remember a brother. And I don't know what I am. Look, I mean, again, I'm listening.
Although, granted, you didn't watch it seven times this year like I did. So, I mean, I can't expect you to know as much as I did.
That's correct. I saw it twice. I was going to see it once, right? And if that would have been my only time seeing it, I would have been wildly upset with myself because of, I told you where we wound up sitting. Actually, a funny story about that. We sat in the second row of Smokies. This was just early in the season, right? I saw you coming down the aisle, and my first thought was, oh, crap, we don't get to see Nicole at the show. And I said, you know what? I see Nicole stuff all the time on Instagram. I've got to say, hey, what's the point of all this if I don't say hey? So I look at you and I say, hey, Katie. And you don't turn around. You don't turn around. And I'm thinking, crap.
Oh, my God. Your name's not Katie. That's my name.
That's the great thing. The great thing is, like, later in the day, I see you again. Oh, and I'm walking away and I'm thinking, I think I called her Katie for some weird reason.
That's hysterical. Well, I have always known who you are, and I will tell. I'll tell both of you this because you might find this funny or weird. You know, whatever you think of this.
It can't get any weirder than this podcast.
Okay, well, that's good. Like, we see y'all very crystal clear in the audience. Like, we know who y'all are. Like, if you're out there, Aaron, like, I'll be like, next up, Aaron's here, and everyone's like, yep, saw him. Like, we all know. Up, like, we're like, everybody better look good. It's next up, you know.
Right. So here's the thing. Yeah, here's the thing.
We all tell each other. We all know.
That's too funny. Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, and same with you. Like, it goes for anybody that we know. Like, you guys are very crystal clear. And I know we're not looking at the audience, but I do. I people watch. I am a people watcher. So I always want to see if I know anybody. I'm like, who's screaming? I know that voice. Who's yelling out there? Like,
who's the one with the... My mom says that I've got the loud clap, and I start the clap a lot of times because Smokey says some awkward parts where people won't clap and it makes me mad. Yeah. And so, like, I'm that person. Like, I will start the clapping if I have to.
I love it. No, we know when y'all are there, so.
It's kind of like one of those things where, like, you want to be the weird guy. Do you want to be the weird 40-year-old white guy, you know, sitting out in the audience, holding the iPhone up, filming a theme park show? Do you want to be that guy? And then at some point,
I want to be that girl.
Love the content. Yeah. Let me tell you, we really, really do. Like, anytime you post a reel, like, you know, Chloe's like, oh my gosh, did you see this Forever Country reel? Like, we love it because both of us come from parts of the country where, like, our family can't see us. Like, my parents came out twice. My grandparents saw it, but, like, they're never around. Like, they don't get content of me. So, like, it's great when people like you come and give us these videos and I just save it. And I'm like, look, somebody.
It is nice to know because it's like, sometimes you think too, like, do they think this is kind of weird for me to put? Because I enjoy doing it. But it's like,
to us, no.
Look. And I'll be honest with you, there was, just for you, Nicole, there was no harder reel that I have ever made than that Forever Country reel. It was the hardest one I have ever made because I was like, you know what? What am I going to do with this? I can't do this cheesy 90s country reel.
That's the dumbest thing. That's the perfect.
Yeah.
Can I ask a question about Hydro Live Junction? I'm going to be that person.
Yeah.
Okay. That was a purely dancing show. And you're a singer. So how was being in Hydro Live Junction, knowing that, like, the singing is actually what you wanted to be there for? How was that experience just dancing all summer?
Yeah, it was really interesting. So so this was 2022. I really wanted to be back in Forever Country. I felt like, not that I got ripped off, but just because of being in college, like, I really wanted a full season with it. And that year it started at its normal time in April and I didn't graduate till May. So they were like, you're out of luck. Like, if you graduated earlier, we would have put you in it. Unfortunately, we can't do anything with you. And I was like, darn. And I was like, honestly, just give me what you got. I was like, I'm willing to do whatever to get my foot back in the door. Like, I want to work here a full season. So, like, just tell me, like, what can I do in the meantime? And they were like, well, they didn't even have a name for it yet. They were like, we're thinking of a new show. It's going to have a hydrant, like a fire hydrant. And they were like, it's going to involve water. Do you like getting, like, wet? Is that okay? And I'm like, what kind of wet? Like, rope guard? Like, I was like, what do you mean?
Are you putting me at Splash Country?
Yeah. And they were like, no, 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 nothing like that. They were like, just like playing in the water, you know, like sprinklers. And I'm like, oh, okay. Sure.
Sure. Sure. Well, that sounds excellent.
Yeah. And they were like, well, we'll give you team lead, which is like the stage manager role and like the captain role. We're like, well, we'll let you be the whole, we'll let you do the whole thing. And they were like, you're just going to lead this new show, you know, trial and error. They were like, take it or leave it. And I was like, okay. And we had no idea what to expect. We were like, I was like, what's it called? And they were like, we don't know. I'm like, cool.
You got any suggestions?
I said, man, I'm moving all the way back for a show that I don't know the name of. All right.
Okay. that was the first thing I ever saw you in, actually. So
right,
like,
right,
it was
right.
a good, it was a cute show though.
Yeah, it did so well. And they're bringing it back this year. So you'll see.
But it was a lot of dancing. Like that was the thing was like, you're such a strong vocalist. And then to be put in a pure dancing show, was it out of your comfort zone? Like tell us a little bit about that summer experience.
Yeah. So I actually have a background in dancing, not as strong as vocally. I was on my high school's dance team. It was like a little orchestra team that wasn't competitive, but I did that. I choreographed for my high school. And I was also a choreographer. I was in a sorority in college. We had something called Greek Sing. It was basically like this huge dance event. And I actually choreographed some numbers for my sorority in that. So I had a decently strong background. I've been dancing since I was really little, on and off. When we were in those hydrodrag rehearsals, they were like, all right, pull out a double pirouette. And I was like, ooh, uh-oh. And a lot of people I was with, like, I'll say this. I'm sure you remember Mary Humphrey. She was a blonde girl in our initial show. She was like Tennessee Titan cheerleader. Like she was offered to be a Tennessee Titans cheerleader, but she was at Dollywood. So I was like, I'm dancing next to an NFL cheerleader. And I was like, oh my God, I'm going to pee myself. I'm going to look like an idiot because not only am I the team lead of the show and I should just know what I'm doing, but I'm next to an NFL, potential NFL cheerleader, and I have to whip out a double. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. And of course, this girl's like, oh, easy, doo-doo. And I was like, oh my God, I'm gonna die. Like, I'm going to look like an idiot in this show. And luckily, just doing it so many times and just like getting help, like, it ended up being fine. But like, that initial, and Hydrodrive only has, well, I will say this, last year it only had 7 days of rehearsal, but this past year with Hydrodrive, they gave them a full 2 weeks, which was
oh, good.
It was needed. I'm so glad they got that extra time back because learning that show in 6 days was wild. It's only 10 minutes, but being able to like clean it, perfect it, getting used to turning on wet concrete and keds, which you're not meant to do both. You're not meant to dance on wet concrete or wear keds when you dance like that. Neither are okay, but just learning and that learning curve of like doing that is so difficult. And in those 6 days, we were like, oh, I guess we're just doing this for 8 weeks now. Like we were like, okay, we just kind of got thrown in there and we were like, we'll see what happens. But it ended up being so fun. And honestly, I feel like that is what helped me. So I was actually dance captain in Forever Country this past year, which shocked me when I got the call. So I was like, are you sure? Like a vocal degree, like, I don't dance. And they were like, nope, we would love you to be the dance captain. You'll be great. And I was like, strange.
Which means what exactly? How does that play out? What does that mean?
It kind of depends on who's in the cast as well. So this past year, Kitty and I were the only returning members besides Ian, of course. And it was kind of between the two of us. And can't really speak for Kitty. I know she does have somewhat of a dance background. I believe she was just like a BA major in college. But they just kind of knew both of us were going to be captains. And they were like, which one can do both? Which one should we put as one or the other? And that's just kind of what they decided. So Kitty was vocal captain and I was dance. And it kind of worked out like that. But I questioned them. I was like, is this what you want to do? And they were like, yep, we're positive. And I was like, anybody else can do it besides they were like, no, nobody else can do it besides you. You are our only option. And I was like, okay.
But it was you said you were a captain for Smokies too. Were you vocal or dance captain for Smokies?
Vocal. So I switched. I ended up
resume builder. That's awesome.
It's very rare at Dollywood to switch. So actually me and Julian Young, who is the Swing and Twas, we both had that experience this year. We both switched our captain's role. So Julian became a dance captain at Christmas because he's typically vocal captain for DDI. And then I switched to being vocal captain, but we are both very much in our comfort zones now. Like Julian would much prefer to be dance captain. honestly, I loved being dance captain. So I honestly felt very out of my element doing vocal warmups. Like I know vocal training very well. Like this is what I excel at. I'm very well versed in like anatomy and what's good for you, what hurts, what you should do. But even like leading vocal warmups, I was like, ooh, this feels wrong. I was like, I want to be like warming everybody up and dance, but that's Melody. Like Melody is the queen of dance captain for Smokies and Dreamland. Like she's the girl. Like I knew they were not going to put me as dance captain. So I was like, nope, let her have it. I'm great. Me and Melody, done. Hey, so much fun.
Is there anybody better than Melody?
She's incredible. She really, really is. And I won't speak for her. So I won't say what she's doing this year, but she has a very well-deserved promotion this year. I'm very, very proud of her. Yeah. You guys will see, like she got a very, very well-deserved promotion this year. So I'm excited for y'all to see her this year because she's going to be doing some really, really big stuff on Park. So
what's next for you? Cause you're not going back to Dollywood this year. So tell us where are you headed?
I'm not. I actually haven't announced this on my socials, so I guess you guys are the first to hear it. My coworkers know, of course, because I'm leaving. I'm returning to Nashville this year, and I will be a performer on the General Jackson Showboat.
Really?
Stop it! Congratulations!
Thank you. I've been wanting it for a while. This has been a dream contract of mine. I always had this plan. I'm such a planner in my mind. I always said I would be at Dollywood for 2 years and then I would move back to Nashville. And this was the contract I had in mind. They had 2 vocalist opportunities of 4. And it was a really stressful time. This was all happening during the Christmas season. Luckily, Dollywood was super supportive of it and was allowing me to, I literally had to miss work a few times to go to these callbacks. And I had to drive to Nashville and back in a day to make it back to be mom, all this stuff. And I ended up booking it. So I'm thrilled. I start in February. And I'm going to songwrite more. I'm going to play guitar more. Oh my gosh. Being a recording artist is what I really want to do in life. And I'm a country artist at heart. And I can't wait to get back to Nashville. I can make my connections again. I can network again. I'm going to have my days free. I'm on their night cruise. So I'm going to have my days back. I'm like, my mental health is going to be great. It's so exciting. I get to have life.
It's interesting you say that because like it does seem like a theme park entertainer contract does seem like a grind.
Oh, it's so difficult. You have no idea.
Well, the only reason I say that, not the only reason, but like, so like we were there at opening one day and I saw Kitty and Tony come in and it was like before opening. I was thinking, well, y'all's show doesn't start till like first schedule's like, I can't remember what it was. It was later in the day, but
have an hour in between shows. Like you guys are busting it all day,
especially Christmas season. Oh my gosh, like on a 5-show day for Smokies, our call time is 10:15, and for girls that's a lot earlier because typically we all come in early to do our makeup. So I try and get there 45 minutes before, so I'm there at 9:30 and our last show ends at 8 o'clock, but by the time you put all your clothes away, do your laundry, put away your wig, it's like 8:30 by the time you get to your car. So we're talking almost 12-hour days at Christmas. And then during the regular season, it's about 7 to 8 hour day. But yeah, I mean, it's just like you live, breathe and sleep Dollywood when you work there. And especially this Christmas being open 7 days a week, that was a new thing for us this year. And you can tell the difference. I won't speak too much on it. I don't want to get in trouble, but it was hard. It really
was intense. Because y'all used to have a day off, even when there would be like Tuesday to Sunday, there was still one day when Smokies wouldn't play or Twas wouldn't play. And I noticed this year that wasn't the case. And some days y'all had 4 shows and Twas had 5 and then vice versa. And that's insane.
Yeah, it was really, really hard. And I think we kind of understood the toll as the season went on. Like we had an injury in our show. Like I'm sure you guys know Peyton. He literally broke his finger mid show. It was super graphic. Like we had a little girl, like it was horrible, horrible. And Melody was gone. I had to deal with it. It was a whole thing, but like he was out for a month and then we started getting really, really sick. Like all of us just started getting super, super ill. We all had like these respiratory infections and like, but we couldn't all catch a break. Like there would be some times where because we were open 7 days a week, you know, we're all entitled to 2 days off a week, which are staggered. So we have so many covering different people, but it's like your 2 days off wouldn't necessarily be in a 7-day period. You might have to wait 9 days to get your 2 days off. You might get 2 days off after only 4. but it depended on the person. And there were some times where people were doing 9, 10 day stretches of the show and doing it 5, 4, 5, 4. Like it was so much, and you weren't guaranteed the same amount of time off. So having those long lengths of time where like you don't get a day off to just like go to the grocery store, sleep, like you can't get anything done. And so I think that was a major factor in kind of we all started falling apart. And if y'all came to our last week, you knew we barely performed our last week in Smokies. Like we had canceled shows every day for 8 days because of illness and fatigue.
I had friends that were there, and the first day they ended up and they were at a canceled show, and then they were able to come the second day, and they said it was wonderful. So y'all were able to pull it together, but it was, they didn't know that there were some that were canceled. So
it's so weird though, as like someone who just visits the park, because like you think, I don't know, like I show up for a day at Dollywood and we just expect everything to be a certain way, certain shows to be played.
Right.
And then you leave. And sometimes it's so easy to forget that. And I'll see something on Instagram and I'll think, oh yeah, well, they're, you know, Nicole's still doing a show today, even though I'm not there. And they're still going through all that constantly. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, see, that never leaves my mind. Like when I saw friends posting stuff from the first day of Christmas in the Smokies, I went the next day. Like I literally was not planning to go, and I drove up for the day because I was like, it is not okay that people have seen this show for 2023 and I've not seen it. Not okay.
That's funny. Yeah. I mean, I could see how it looks like that to y'all. Cause it's like you guys see it once or twice, but like we did the show 214 times this year. Like
that's what's so crazy. You'll see like the show counts throughout the year, just even like normal through regular season. You think, gosh, that's a lot of time to do that show.
Yes. And people like the Tones, especially, I don't know how they do it. Yeah.
That's what I was thinking.
800 a year. And that's crazy to me. I couldn't imagine. Forever Country, I think, did under 400, but still, that's too many time to be singing that opener and that closer. I'm saying that. That's 400 too many times. By the last week, I'm all like, okay, you know, let's get out of here. Yeah.
All right, look, we're not going to keep you that much longer, but I've got to ask a couple of things.
Okay, I'm going to let him ask, and then I've got two questions that I'm going to ask at the end that are just Christmas in the Smokies questions just for me. So, Aaron, you go first, but since I'm your guest, I'm going to go last. You're welcome.
What is your favorite show at Dollywood? If it's just a call showing up at the park to go see a show at Dollywood, what are you going to see?
Dreamland Drive-In. Aww. Dreamland Drive-In. Ever since I almost had the opportunity to be in it in 22. That has been a show for me. Like I, even starting in 21, like I looked up to those people, like they were Jesus themselves. Like when I came, I knew those were the top dogs. Everybody was like, oh, like those people, like they know they're good. And I'm like, that's because they are really good. Like I looked up to those people. So like when I got the call to be Peggy Sue in 22, like I was stunned. I was like, you guys know that's not me. And they were like, well, we need you. And I was like, oh my God, like I'm stuck with these musical theater people. Like I love the show, but I'm like, oh, these are like legitimate theater people. Like I'm going to drown in this. Like I have a background in typical theater from high school, but I was like, I'm going to drown. But it was so much fun. I did not expect that rehearsal process and learning Peggy Sue to be so fun. And just going in that rehearsal process just made me learn way more about the storyline and the characters than I could just surface level watching it. And ever since that point, like I didn't actually get to be a part of it. Unfortunately, I was just a couple days shy of being in the show permanently. But just knowing as much as I did through the rehearsal process just made me have love for it. Like any chance I got in Forever Country, like I would go over there and sit in the pine.
What was your favorite moment of your time at Dollywood? What's the one that sticks out more than any?
I'll say two. My first one was my last show I performed in Forever Country in 2021. That was super special because I'd only been there 8 weeks, but I had grown to love it. And I knew even before leaving, I actually contemplated going to Drew and being like, I'm going to drop out of college. I want to stay here. Like I loved it so much, right? Really contemplated dropping out of school. But obviously I knew I shouldn't have. And it was like my last day. And I was like, I really want to come back here. And I just had no idea if they were going to ask me back. But my last show, my parents were there. All of our management was sitting in the back. Like every performer on park was like there to watch me at my last show. And I remember just being like so overwhelmed. And this is kind of embarrassing too. I sobbed my entire last show, like, would barely get a note out. I was so, so sad. And like, Chance is in the back being like, what? Like, everyone's like, come on, Nicole, like, you could do it. But I was like sobbing, like, poor Blake is like holding my hands in the duet being like, okay, Nicole, like, come on. But it was just like the amount of support I got on that last day. Like, I was like, this is why I want to come back and do this more. Like, those people who supported me and like everybody who was just like there to be like, you did such a great job. Like, we really want you back. Like, that just meant the world to me. So that is one, because that was really, really special for me. I would say the other moment, probably getting called for Dreamland Drive-In or Smokies.
Yeah.
I'll say Smokies. I was actually, I'll tell you the story about my Smokies call. I was actually at Dreamland Drive-In. So it was a day where it was pouring out. And if it's pouring and lightning, you're not doing Hydro Drive. So we had canceled shows that day. And while we were sitting down there, I got a call and they were like, hey, can you go practice and track in the Pines, like, while Dreamland Drive-In's doing their shows, so you can like get a feel for it? Like, we would love if you went over there and practiced. And I was like, yeah, great. So I was back there with all of them, and they were about at places for the show. And there was already talk of Melody being like, I'm in Smokies. Well, I will say this. Okay. That morning in Hydro Jive, we were getting out our rain boots, and I shook out my rain boot, and there was a card that fell out, and it said Melody Christmas in the Smokies on it. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is cute. Cause I know those are like the little cards they put up to divide up costumes. Your closet space. Yeah. And I was like, oh my gosh. So I texted her a picture and I was like, look what was in my rain boot. So weird. And she was like, oh, that's funny. I actually got a call for Christmas in the Smokies today. And I was like, oh my God, like, what are the odds? Like, that's so weird. And then later that afternoon when I went to Dreamland, I got my call because I was like nervous all day. And I was like, oh no, like, Melody got her call. Like, I want a call for Christmas in Smokies. And then at places when I was just about to set up and practice back there, I got a call for Christmas in Smokies and I started crying and I was like, you're joking. And of course, being a Christian, I was like, oh my gosh, like, this is so cool. Like, I found Melody's Christmas in the Smokies card. And then I got the call the same day. Like, what? I mean, what is that? I'm how crazy. And I remember I called my parents like while they were in the show in Dreamland Drive-In. I didn't even care about practicing. I was in the dressing rooms in the Pines and I called my parents and I'm like, oh my gosh, they asked me to be in Smokies. Like, I made it. Like, I did it. And it was just, oh my gosh, achieving the one thing you've always wanted to do. Like,
yeah,
one dream. It's just like, yeah. Yeah,
love it.
So great. Yeah.
All right, go, Katie. What were your two questions?
One about you, one that's not. Okay.
Sure.
One is not about you. When Chase is playing Tom Hacker's role, who is he supposed to be? Were they calling him Luther? Were they calling him Bubba? Yeah. Who was he? Because he couldn't have been your father.
Oh God, no. Ooh, no. We like to refer to Chase as like uncle.
Okay.
It definitely weirds a lot of people out that, and Chase is so fantastic at Tom's role. I will say that.
Oh my gosh. He was amazing. But my mom and I were like, was he the uncle? Is he like the bachelor uncle who never had kids and is spending the holiday? It was funny. So I just wanted to know who he was supposed to be.
Basically an uncle character, and everyone would kind of have a different name for him. Like, some people used to call him like Uncle Chuck. Like, we had people calling him Archie. Like,
I heard Bubba. At one point I heard Bubba, and then I heard someone call him Luther. And I was like,
yeah.
Okay. The second question is more relating. The mom role is iconic to Dollywood.
Yeah.
During this past season playing the mom, she has a lot of songs that are quintessential Christmas in the Smokies. Which one was your favorite moment where you're singing it and realizing I am playing the mom in this show? Which was your favorite moment of the show? Because I can remember back as a kid seeing Paige, Tender Tennessee Christmas. I can remember her singing, you know, the heirloom song. Which one to you was your favorite song that you got to sing?
I would say it actually changed over time. I would say in the beginning it was the reprise of It Must Be Home. I cried just learning it. Like, we sang it for the first time and I cried, like, could not get through it. And John Dietrich was like, perfect. I'm so happy you're the mom. Like, you get it. And I'm like, yeah, this is sad. It's sad.
Nicole, I feel like you cry a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. Big crier. If you saw me on the last day of Christmas in Smokies this year, oh my goodness, black mascara in the finale. Whole time my parents were in the front row. Like, it was all mess. Nice. I'm a crier, very emotional person. But yeah, I love the reprise. It's so underrated.
Beautiful.
beautiful. And it's this moment where like the mom like turns around and her whole family, like this is something I learned this year too. Like it's like the mom like walks off because like everything in her life is just like how it should be. Like this is everything she's dreamed of. It's everything she's talked to dad about. Like her son's home, her son found this love in life. Oh, like
wait a minute. There's a mom in that show.
Oh, stop it.
Shocker.
Was that song written by Dollywood or was, cause I know that it replaced the one from the Christmas Carol, I think, Broadway. Was this a Dollywood original song?
It is. Our director, John Mitchell, who wrote it. Yes.
It's beautiful.
It is. It really is. But yeah, the reprise is just so gorgeous. I mean, what an emotional part of the, but Heirlooms towards the end, I got more comfortable with it. That was the song that scared me most because, of course, being mom, like, I almost think of it as like, I feel like the queen, like, I feel like I'm like in a monarchy of people who have like come before me, like iconic, incredible people have come before me, like Ingrid 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Phenomenal. I think she sounds like Cynthia Erivo. Like, I was like, oh my God, she could be on Broadway. Why is she here? And like, Haley, oh my God. And it's like, I've been asked to fill in these shoes and like, I have to live up to the level that these people have set this song at. And like, in my mind, I was like, how can I top it? Like, how can I make this my own, but like keep letting it grow over time? And so it scared me. I was like, listen, this song is like the face of the show. Like, I can't screw this up. It's like,
as someone though, who has seen every iteration of Christmas Monkeys, you did a beautiful job.
You did
the song. Not only did you do it justice, it was absolutely one of my favorite performances that I've ever seen of it. So as the Christmas and the Smoky super fan, I approve wholeheartedly.
Well, that means a lot. So thank you. Cause there are some very great people who came before me in the role. So
no,
and I am done with my questions, Aaron. I have done commandeering your podcast. It is all yours now.
Well, no, look, I will say, and if we were like close friends, that you'd know that I'm hypercritical of everything. That's just who I am. I'm hypercritical of myself, everything. So I'll tell you the truth. Like when you kicked into Heirlooms, I thought, wow, well, there's Nicole. You know what I mean? Before that, I was like, gosh, Nicole's doing a great job, great job, great job. Then you started that. And I thought, oh my goodness gracious.
it was fantastic. It was, the thing is you acted. That was the thing is you didn't just sing the part, you were acting. And that's what those of us who love that show love, the storyline.
I'm so glad. That was actually like one of the things I was nitpicked about most. Like this director is known to be very, very hard. Like a lot of people just cry like leaving his rehearsal. Like he is very, very hard on people. And I was the target one most of the time, but it was only because like he was like, there's such a specific emotion. I need you to display like there's a specific, like even just like when I turn around, what angle I face the house at, like how I use my hands and like if they're open, closed, fingers together, like everything matters. And especially, of course, I'm 23 playing a mother age, especially when I got the offer that was also reiterated to me. They're like, look, we want you to be the mom. However, we want you to know, like, there is an age factor to this. Like, you will be the youngest mom we've had so far. We really need you to play a mature role. And I'm like, okay. So the entire rehearsal process, I was getting nitpicked like crazy. Mm-hmm. And this was one of those ones where he was like, God, you're so close. Like, it's not it. Like, it's not. You're almost there. Like, come on. And it was like this acting thing. Like, I don't have an experience in acting at all. I've never been trained in acting. I genuinely feel like I never know what I'm doing. It's so out of my comfort zone, especially something like Smokies. Like Forever Country is so like singing to the audience. Like, you know, I'm me in that show. I'm not playing a character. That's Nicole up there singing country music. But it's like being mom and like having to act like 20 years older than you are. And like just trying to nail the emotion of what he wants was so hard. But in the end, like, I remember the preview, like the show before the preview, like I was so nervous, like the show before that, he was like, God, you're going backwards. Like it's this whole thing. And I was like, what? And he was like, it's backwards. He was like, it's wrong. I don't know, Nicole. I don't know. Yeah. It's like, what? And then finally the show before the preview, he was like crying and he was like, you did it. Please never, ever, ever change how you did it. And that was the moment where I was like, oh my God, I got it. Like, I finally get it. I understand. And then it truly, like, just like feedback, like management was like, we are so glad we chose you as mom. Like that meant the world to me. I started crying. I was like, don't say that to me. I'm already vulnerable and I cry too much. Like, don't say nice things to me right now.
Well, I was a fan, and I'm sad that you won't be back for Christmas next year because you did a lovely job.
I honestly am too. I am really envious of the person who gets to play mom next year because it was one of the most rewarding roles I've ever played. And my family, just like, and this is getting to something else too, but like my grandparents are on the older side and just like kind of knowing, and they're kind of sick. And I was like, they're never going to see me as a mom in real life. And just like feeling like they could see me on stage as a mom, like, that, and that's why I told the office. I was like, my grandparents get to see me as a mom. Thank you. Like that's what I wanted in life. Yeah. So it meant a lot to me. I'm more than grateful that I got to do it. It was amazing. Never in a million years when I watched it in 2020 would I've been like, oh, I'm gonna be her. Because as soon as she opened up with Tenor Tennessee Christmas, that is my favorite Christmas song of all time. Yeah. Thrilled I got to sing it. And yeah, I was just like, I could never do that. Like, she's amazing. Like, I'm mom, like I look like I'm 18. At least that's what I was like, no way, I'm gonna have you do that. And then this year I was like, But
so fun fact, during Tennessee Christmas, my mom loves Rob playing the son, and she loved last year when he would go, hey mama. And so she would call him hey mama, and she would be like, is hey mama in the show today? And whatever. And he was so kind and got to meet her this year. And she was like, it's hey mama. And it was just, that's the kind of connection that the show brings to people. So thank you. I'm done talking. Aaron is right.
No, very last question. What are you going to miss the most about being at Dollywood?
The people. Yeah. My friends, I especially this year, I will say like the beginning of this year was super hard on me. I was feeling like super in a lone place, but like going into Christmas, like, oh my gosh, like there are some friendships like Tony Fioli. He will be like one of my best friends for life. Like him and I are like soulmates. Like I love him like a brother. Like he is just like, he is everything to me. And like Avin and like Chloe, like these are people who are like my best friends for life. And it is so sad. And like all of them are staying. You will not lose any of them, fortunately. But I am just like, oh my God, I'm so sad. Like I've been here for 3 years, and like these people, even your family, like I said, you're at work for 12 hours a day. Like these people are the people you see at every waking moment of the day, and you're away from your family. These people become your family. So yeah, oh my gosh, I'm gonna miss those people more than anything. I remember like closing day for Smokies, like having to like legitimately say goodbye to people, like I'll never see them. And I'm like, oh my God, like this is horrible. Like, am I doing a mistake? Like, should I not be leaving? I was like, I can't do this, but it's time for me to move on. But oh my gosh, I'm going to miss my friends and my coworkers more than anything. But I plan on visiting Dollywood many times this year. Nashville is only a hop, skip and a jump away. Luckily, very short car ride. But I already told them I have my season pass already. We get those for Christmas gifts at Dollywood. So I have a season's pass. So I will be back. I'm going to see them all the time. I want to see them for every season at Dollywood. I'm excited for this new Dolly show. I hear lots of great things. So I'm going to be visiting them. That's the good news, is people who are, I'll see, but definitely my friends.